Praise God. We've been talking about seven steps to the highest kind of faith. And so we were on number five, know the reality of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Know the reality of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. It's been a few weeks since we've talked, so let's go over to 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. First John 4:4. Everybody there? It says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You believe it?
Yes.
Do we believe that?
Yes.
That means the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, dwells inside of us. If we're Christians, if we're born again, then we are not just mere men, that the greater one dwells inside of us. Now, we're talking about believing and knowing the reality of that. And it's been a few weeks since we've touched on this. This is just one of the most important things that we can be aware of, is that we understand that the Almighty God, the creation, the creator of the universe, dwells in us. Now, he dwells in us now. And he's not far away from us. He's here now. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now hold your finger there. Go to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. Second Corinthians 6:16. Second Corinthians 6:16. Everybody there? It says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. For you are the temple of the holy," or the temple of the living God, verse 16 says, the temple of the living God. And he said, "I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now, you may go back and forth. Just hold your finger there. So you have two fingers in there. In 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. "Or do you not know," everybody there? It says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Verse 19 says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" Your body isn't the temple of the Holy Spirit, just like the Spirit's just dwelling in your body. It's because your body houses your spirit. And God is in your spirit. The Holy Spirit is in your spirit. And so your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Who is where? In you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. So we're not our own. We're not our own. If we're Christians, we don't own ourselves. God does. He bought us. So we don't get to make our own decisions. Now, you have a free will, but your will should be submitted to the Lord. In other words, if the Word of God says something, then do you have a choice about obeying that? You do. I mean, you have a free will, but you are actually purchased by God. So if you're really going to say, well, he's my Lord, then yes, you have a free will, just like you never had to become a Christian. But if you've become a Christian, then God is your master. God is not just your Savior, but your Lord. If he's truly your Lord, then do you have a choice about obeying the Word? Well, I know what the Word says, but I'm not going to do it. Okay, well then, is Jesus truly your Lord? Did I say is your Savior? He's still your Savior. In other words, you can be going to heaven, but disobeying him all the way. Did you know that? And that's not something you want to play with either. You don't want to play with disobeying God, because people say, well, you know, I'll just do this and then I'll repent afterwards. That's very, very dangerous. How do you know you'll want to repent afterwards? You mess with that long enough, you may get hardened to a place. The Bible says that the deceitfulness of sin hardens you. You don't want to walk away from God. Well, I'd never do that. Well, how do you know? If you're not going to listen to him now and not do what he said now, how do you know you won't walk away from him? If you start giving in to the devil, why would you give in to the enemy and say, well, I'll come back? Well, I'm just going to go over, you know, and mess with this thing. Just go near this fire because I know I'll be able to get back. I'm just going to go and tiptoe over this ledge and just, you know, dangle around it, and then because I know I'll get back. Why would you mess with it? Why would you go close to it? Well, it's fun. Well, I like going close to it because I know I'll come back. That's famous last words. People do all kinds of stupid stuff. Well, I'll make it through. I'll come back. Why would you do that? If you know what you're doing, you ought to do what you know you're supposed to do. Did I say that's always just, your flesh just loves that? No. But our flesh is supposed to be under us, the Bible tells us, to put your flesh under. You put your flesh under. You, who's you? The inside you, tell your flesh, this body that we're living in, what to do. Now, does your flesh just jump up and down to do that all the time? No, but it will do what you tell it to do. Did you know it? It will. And it will do good or bad what you tell it to do. Now, if you just let it go, it just wants to do nothing. It wants to watch too much TV. It wants to eat too much. It wants to lay around. That's where the flesh wants to go. It doesn't want to have anything to do. It just wants to just give to me. Just sit here. And everything just comes to me. Money will just come. Food just come. In fact, I want people to feed me. Come over. And you, I want you to put an umbrella over and start fanning me because I just want to sit here. That's what my flesh wants to do. Feed me grapes or something, you know. That's what your flesh wants to do, but you know, if you do that for long, you can do that and it's called a vacation. But you do that week after week after week, guess what? You're not going to have any money unless you're independently wealthy, and you're going to be miserable even if you did. That is not the way to happiness, but your flesh wants to say, oh yeah, that's what you want. Sit here, play video games, do nothing. That is the life. It gets boring. Did you know it? Just indulging your flesh just wants more and more. It does not quit. And it gets yucky after a while. You think, all I want to do is sleep. Go ahead, sleep all you want. And then see, you just keep feeling worse and worse, don't you? I remember when I was, you know, on break from college, you'd come home for 3 weeks. And, man, I would get done with those finals. I was looking for, oh, when I get done with the finals, man, I'm going home doing nothing. And so, you know, telling on myself, but, you know, I go home. And, you know, you start going to bed later and later, and your sleep is shifting. You know, I'm going to bed at after midnight, then I'm sleeping in late morning, then I'm going to bed even later, and I'm getting up, you know, afternoon or whenever, and you know, just eating whatever, playing video games, watch TV. By the end of it, I'm so miserable. You know, then you got to kick yourself in the rear and get going back to normal life again. It's not fun. It's not fun to follow your flesh. Your flesh tells you, no, it's fun to follow me. No. Your flesh, if you do everything your flesh wants to do, you are not going to be happy. Even though your flesh tells you you can be happy. No, otherwise the Bible wouldn't tell us to put our flesh under. If you put your flesh under and tell it what it's supposed to do, I didn't say any of us do it perfectly, but that ought to be what we strive for, and realize that actually, if you'll tell your flesh no, put it in its place, you will feel stronger, because what you're listening, if you tell your flesh what to do in line with the Word of God, you are strengthening your position on this earth. You're strengthening your relationship with God, because God says you do what He tells you to do, and your flesh tells you something and you just say no. You want to find out how much your flesh dictates? You start telling your flesh no. You know, I want that cookie. No. I'm going to go watch this TV show. No, you're not. See what happens. Well, I'm just going to go do this. No, you're not. Well, I'm getting up late. No, you're not. You're going to get up early. Tell it, you know, your flesh would be like, no, I'm not. And then there's a war. You got to, you know, your flesh will rise. You know, your flesh will talk to you. It will talk to you. I don't want to get out of bed. I do not want to move. I want to lay here all day. But what do you have to do? You have to talk back. Tell it, no, you're not. You're getting your rear out of bed. Get up. Shut up, flesh. You don't have to say, use the word flesh. Just say, shut up. Get out of bed, Jim, or, you know, whatever your name is. No. We're gonna listen to God. We're going to do what we're supposed to do. Because we have God Almighty on the inside of us. I haven't digressed from what I'm talking about. If we're so conscious of our body, we can go around and say, oh yeah, I know God's in me. But if you think God, how powerful is God? He is all powerful. And He is resident in us, in our heart. So do you think if we tap into that power, that we can do what we need to do on this earth, and that would include disciplining ourselves to do what we need to do? Do you think God's powerful enough to help us discipline ourselves? Do you think He's powerful, or is that just, that's beyond His capability? I mean, you know, He can raise people from the dead, but getting us to stop doing, you know, getting us out of bed in the morning, that's impossible. Nobody can wake up that person in the morning. Don't even try. Not God Himself. No, that's not true. We know it's not true, but what are we talking about? We're talking about knowing the reality of the indwelling presence of Almighty God. So it's not enough to say, yes, preacher, I believe that. It's a matter when your flesh is telling you, there's no way, shut up, that what do we need to do at this point? We need to act like God is really inside of us and we're really His children, and that we can really dominate the situation then. So we like to think of it when I feel real good. When I feel like doing what I want to do. In other words, when I want, my flesh wants to do it, and I feel good inside about doing it, and it's even what, like when I want to go to church, then I'm going to go to church. That's not the time you need to go to church. I mean, you need to go to church all the time. When you feel like not going to church is when you need to take yourself by the scruff of the neck and say, we're going. When you don't feel like reading your Bible is when you need to read your Bible the most. Because if you start yielding to that, well, I don't feel like reading my Bible. I'm just not going to do it. Okay. If you listen to that, guess what you just did? You just starved your spirit and you listened to your flesh. Guess what? Next time you say, well, I'm going to do this. No, you're not. I'm going to do this. Your flesh will just start dictating to you. And pretty soon it just gets stronger. Do you know whatever you feed will get stronger and whatever you starve will get weaker? So, now, what are we talking about? That God Almighty is on the inside of us, right? What if I don't listen to Him? What if I decide not to listen to Him? Okay, well, is He going to be able to help me if I just don't listen to Him? I said, well, I'm going to listen to someone else. You say, but it's hard to do that. See, if you say it's hard, then you're already saying that God can't help you. Well, it's too hard to make myself do that. Well, it's hard. Okay, so what are we actually saying? Now, in church, I believe that the greater one lives in me, but right now, it's hard, so therefore, I'm going to act like it's not true right now. Be honest with yourself. Is that what we're saying? But we're talking about that the greater one lives in us. But we said amen to it. We talked about it. We sing songs about it. Greater is he who lives in me than he who is in the world. We get excited about it. But man, if I don't feel like it, I'm not going to act like it. Because after all, if I don't feel like it, then I'm just going to wait till I feel like it. I'm going to wait till I feel like God's inside of me. Then I'll act like it. But right now, I'm going to do whatever my body wants to do, what my mind wants to do. And then when I feel like doing the right thing, then I'll go back and do it. Do you think that's what we ought to do? No, we have to do it when we don't. So we're talking about having the highest kind of faith. Is faith when you see something or when you don't see something, yet you believe? The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. And you could say we walk by what we believe and not by what we feel. So what if you don't feel like something's true? What if you don't feel like the word is true? What if you don't feel like you're well? Well, we go by feelings. No, we don't. You go by faith. What if you don't feel like it's a good day? I'm preaching to me just as much as you. We all have days where we don't feel like it's a good day. Well, I just don't feel like being here today. I don't feel like I'm going to do well at work. I just feel like staying in bed. Well, if we did everything we felt like, then we are not going to act like the greater ones on the inside of us. You have to know that this is real. So when we start looking at it and act like it's real, then in the midst of a trying situation, you can actually act, wait a minute, I feel like everything is going to pop, but I still have God on the inside of me, so I have the answer living on the inside of me, and so he knows what to do, so all I have to do is look on the inside and listen to him, and I have a way out of this. But you know what your flesh will tell you? Nah, it's over. Go back to bed. You're not going to make it today. I don't feel like it. Let's just go watch TV. I'm not against TV, but I'm saying if you go watch TV when you actually... It shouldn't be. You need to be like thanking God and praising God. And you think, I don't feel good, so I'm going to go watch TV. TV is not the answer. Eating is not the answer. Drugs are certainly not the answer. Going and getting drunk is not the answer. Going and sleeping more is not the answer. We do anything like that, those are all crutches that have side effects. Anything like that. Now, God can deliver us from anything. But if we say, well, I don't feel good, I'm going to go do something else to make myself feel good, guess what we just did? We yielded to something else and actually put ourselves under something else instead of looking at the Lord. When we don't feel like something is right, we ought to say, thank God he's in me right now anyway. I mean, think about it. You don't feel like God's around. You don't feel like it's a good day. Is God still with you? Yes. Is God still as strong as he's ever been? Yes. But what if you don't feel like it? But he's still there. Yep. Well, I don't feel like the word's working. What does that have to do with it? Did God take a break? Well, he doesn't feel like I'm here, so I might as well go take a nap. Because then when he feels like it, I'll come back. What are we talking about? We're talking about how to have high faith, how to have strong faith. What if you don't feel like something in the Word is true? Is that the time to go by your feelings? No. But I don't feel like God's with me. Because I know we're repeating this, but I'm not repeating it because I think you're slow on the outside. We need to get this on the inside because it doesn't matter if we've heard it with our heads. It does not matter. What are we going to do when we don't feel like the word is true? And because think about it. If we believe what we're talking about here, that God, that we are actually the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means if I move here, that the Holy Spirit's going with me. If I go over here, the Holy Spirit's with me. So what if I am right in the middle of a big problem? Where is the Holy Spirit? He's in me. So what if I feel like, and the thoughts in my head are, there is no hope. What if the thoughts are, I'm not going, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't see how we're going to get to the other side. What if I feel like that? Should I say, I don't know how we're going to get through this. I have no idea. Have you seen this? Have you seen that? What am I doing when I start saying that? I'm looking at what is out here, and I'm magnifying it. I'm not looking at what's on the inside. I'm not walking by faith. I'm completely walking by feeling. I'm walking by sight. And I am not only walking by sight, I am magnifying it and making it bigger in my mind. And if I say it to my partner and say, there is no way that we're coming, I don't know how we're going to come through this. Do you have any ideas? And they say, I don't have any ideas. Do you have any ideas? I don't see how we're going to come through it either. I don't see the way to the other side. I don't see it. I don't see it either. What are you establishing? That you don't know and that you don't see. Now, let me ask you, where is God throughout this whole conversation? Where is the Holy Spirit? Inside. On the inside. But at this point, we're acting like He's not. We're acting like He's not here. We're having this conversation, and God Almighty's sitting there, and you say, I don't know what to do. And you see another one says, I don't know what to do either. God's probably sitting there going, I know what to do. Anybody going to ask me? I mean, it'd be like if three of us, come here, Andrew. It'd be like, and Brianna, come here. It'd be like I'm talking to Brianna, trying to figure out a problem, and Andrew's standing right here, and he's an expert in this. Let's say it's something about soccer. Some soccer. Yes, he knows about soccer. Let's say it's something about goalie, about being a goalie in soccer. And we're trying to figure out what we should do on a given play, and Andrew knows the answer. But we're sitting there going, I don't know. Brianna's saying, I don't know back. I'm saying, I just can't figure it out. And Andrew's standing here all the time saying, I know, ask me. But we're just like ignoring him. You guys can go ahead and sit down. God must feel like that, but I'm sure He's used to it after how much dealing with people. He's just like, okay, here we go again. And if we've been through that same thing before, He's probably just, okay, well, they're going to, all right. I don't know. Does he, I don't think He checks out, but He's got to say, how many times have I heard this? They're going to go through this. Well, I don't know. Where's God? And He's there. He's like, same place I always am. I'm right here. Are you through yet? Nope. Oh, I guess not. Okay, go for another round. And all the time, He is there, and He's strong. He's with us. He's for us. He said this all in His Word. Right here He said, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. He said He's the temple. God dwells in us. I will dwell with them and be their God. They'll be my people. He said He's the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we're the temple, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And all the time, He's right there. But you know what we're looking for a lot of times? We're looking for a feeling. We're looking to feel something. We're looking to feel so that we'll know that we have the victory. Good night. I've walked in this Christian life long enough, walked in the faith life long enough to know that you don't go by feelings and by what you can see. If you go by feelings and what you can see, you'll make bad decisions. If you go by what your sense knowledge is, you will not make decisions that line up with the Word of God. You can get into fear. You can get into doubt and unbelief. Anxiety. Oh, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to do well on this test. I don't know how I'm going to do well on that presentation. I don't know how I'm going to get this job done at work. I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And this is probably going to happen. Then you start playing scenarios out. Oh, this could happen, and this could happen, and this could happen. Again, where is God the whole time? Well, I don't know what's going to happen. The doctor said this, and I could die, and or this could happen, and you know, I could have this complication in my body, and what if that happened? And then that's what I would, you know, that's what my life would be like, and you can see it in your head, and I'm playing it out, and I'm talking, I tell you know, somebody else in my family, this is what could happen, and I where's God? Where's He the whole time? Do you think He has the answer? Is He riled up about it? Is he afraid about your situation or my situation? Well, I just don't know how I'm going to take care of this situation with this person at work or this family member. I don't know. I have no idea. Do you think God is dumbfounded?
No.
And where is He again? Tell me.
Inside.
So what if we acted like that was actually true? And that He was there to help us and be a strengthener for anything that we needed. What if we believed that? What if we acted like that was actually true? All the time. Does He ever leave us?
No.
Does He ever take a break?
No.
No. The Bible says that in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. It says, He will never leave you, never forsake you. So in every situation, at all times, the greater one dwells in us. That is not something that we say on Sunday morning and forget as soon as we leave in Sunday afternoon or Wednesday night. Wednesday night when we leave church, we forget it because now we're going back to the quote-unquote real world. If we think that's the real world and God can't help me in the real world, then we have a problem. If He can't help us in the quote-unquote real world with quote-unquote real problems, then what good was the blood of Jesus? What good did He do? Then His sacrifice was a flat failure if He can't actually help us in real stuff. But that's not true. I mean, think about who we're talking about and where He lives. And then ask yourself, what is the problem that He can't solve? The answer is there is no problem that He's not up to, and He lives in us. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about having great faith, having strong faith. What does that mean? You have faith in what? In the Word of God and His ability to act on your behalf and to do what He said. Now, how does the situation change when you come up against a situation and right there, right with you, you realize Almighty God is right here with me? What would that do to your faith? In other words, what would that do to your belief that you're coming out good on the other side if you know that God, the Holy Spirit, indwells you and is right there with you, coming up against that thing right with you, right arm to arm, taking a hold with you? What would that do to your faith? You would have to say, we have this. There's no way. There's no way we're not coming through. We're winning. We're going to win. We're winning. There's no way we're not winning this thing. It'd be like you pick your favorite basketball player, NBA player. And let's say you're going to play 2-on-2 with some pickup game with some people that are about your normal skill level, wherever you are. I don't think we have any NBA players in here. Maybe we? No, I don't think we do. And so you're having a pickup game and you're about to start. But then let's say your friend who actually does play in the NBA, You say whoever he is. I mean, if he played in the NBA, I don't care what level, he's probably better than whoever you're playing with. But let's say he's a superstar, comes up, and now he's going to play with you. What would that do to your confidence level of winning this game?
Absolutely.
You would say, I hardly have to even do anything. I'll stand here, and he's got it. There's no way we're coming out behind. There is no way. Right? I mean, seriously, what would your confidence, would you have any doubt that we're winning this thing?
No.
Would you be afraid?
No.
Would you be just biting your fingernails saying, I don't know. I don't, you know, I know he looks good, he's tall, but he might not come through this time. If you were looking at your friends and looking at him, you'd say, there is no way we're losing this. There's no way. Right?
Right.
So then think about that in relation to God Almighty. Because it isn't, that isn't even a good illustration compared to what we have. That does not even paint even a good picture. If we actually knew who we had inside, you would, there's no comparison. Because the other guy could keel over dead. That's not going to happen with God. You know, the guy could have to leave. He forgot an appointment. He's got to leave. Sorry, bud, you're on your own. But that's not going to happen with God. If he's on the inside of us and he's coming up against us, against something, we ought to say, there's no way I'm not coming over. He's in me. He's for me. He said it. So I got this thing. I don't have to worry about it. I'm done. This is as good as finished. This is over now. We haven't even started, but this is over. This has got to move. This has got to change. Can you see it? Can you see the difference that would make in our lives? Can you see that right now as we're talking about it, faith in your heart is up higher. It's been rising. You can see right now that if you're thinking that way, there is nothing that's awaiting for you outside this room at home that has a chance against God. If you get that, you see, if you start, if you let the thoughts come in, well, that's just here. No, you have to get sassy with it. You have to start saying, no, you're going down. Because God's with me. Have you looked at who's on my side? This problem, you have no chance. You might as well give up now. You might as well move now. You're done. Now. Well, we haven't started. It doesn't matter. Have you seen who's on my team? He lives on the inside of me. It's over. You better run while you still have the chance. You start talking like that, that's called faith. Because what? You're calling the end from the beginning. You're saying, no, now we have it. We've got it now. I'm coming over now. And that's the way you need to talk to yourself. No, God is with me. God's for me. He's in me. So we have this. And then something comes up and it looks bad. You say, I don't care. He's still in me. We got this. Yeah, but it looks so bad. Somebody else comes and says, yeah, but I have no idea. Doesn't matter if you have an idea. Have you seen who's on our team? He's got it. With every situation, it could be like that. Can it be this simple? It's got to be. We're talking about the reality that he's with us. If he's with us, it is that simple for him. You know what our problem is? We don't let him take care of it most of the time. And if we'll start letting him deal with it and take care of it and get out of his way, then we do have it. Then it is ours. Amen. I don't know if you've been helped or not, but I've been helped. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm glad I came. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I believe we can walk in this. Our faith is right, is coming, is it's higher, it's at a higher level right now than when we came in this room. You believe it? Yeah. Thank God. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for your holy written word. We thank you that you indwell us, that the greater one lives on the inside of us, that greater is he who is in the world greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world, that we are the temple of the Most High God. Lord, we believe it. We act like it's true. And we say right now, we're going over. Anything that's been standing in our way that's trying to tell us that it's insurmountable, it's a lie, it has to move, it has to change. And Lord God, we confess it right now. We say it right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now you just think of anything, whatever it is, that's been standing in your way. It can be multiple things, but I want you to pick out one thing right now that looks like it's been talking to you. It's been telling you that you're going down, that you're never going to overcome this, that you can't get past it, that is insurmountable. I want you to get that fixed in your mind right now. I'm not going to ask you what it is. You just get it in your mind right now and visualize it. Get it right in your mind right now. Now I want you to see with your mind's eye you facing that. And now I want you to see with your mind's eye, in your heart, I want you to see God Almighty being in you and with you coming up against that thing. And I want you to see that thing just get removing, just getting out of the way. Because God is on our side. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to say this after me. Say, God is for me. God is in me. God is with me. Greater is He that who is in me than He who is in the world. Now I want you to just say whatever. You don't have to say the situation, but you just say, situation, you got to change. I'm coming over you. God is in me. God is for me. And I'm winning. You have to get out of the way. I see myself winning. I see myself on top. God is helping me. You don't have a chance. I've already won. I will win. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now you have to stay there. You don't just let this be here. Next time that thing starts talking back to you, you talk right back and say, no, I told you you're gone. God is still with me, just like He was Wednesday night. He's still with me, and you will move. God is with me, and we're going over. Just like a steamroller, we're going over.